This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. As always, plenty of news out of Washington. Among the subjects, a third term for President Trump and more tariff talk. We'll start with CBS's Derek Walter.
One scenario here is that Vice President J.D. Vance, he runs, wins the election, and then at that point, he could actually turn the reins back over to President Trump. There is technically nothing preventing that from happening, and Trump says he is serious.
I have had more people say, please run again.
President Trump hinting over the weekend he could run for a third term, even though the Constitution prohibits presidents from serving more than two terms.
We have a long way to go before we even think about it.
This week, President Trump is set to ratchet up his trade war with few specifics on reciprocal tariffs expected to kick in Wednesday.
We'll be far more generous than those countries were to us.
There's also the president's new 25% tax on imported vehicles and auto parts. The United Auto Workers president told Face the Nation Sunday the move could bring jobs back to the U.S.
Tariffs aren't the total solution. Tariffs are a tool in the toolbox to get these companies to do the right thing.
But a new CBS News poll shows that many Americans are concerned tariffs will raise prices. 64% said the president is not focused enough on lowering prices, while 55% said he's too focused on tariffs.
Products will go up. Americans will pay more.
Over the weekend, President Trump told NBC News that he couldn't care less if car companies raise prices in response to tariffs, also threatening bombs and what he called secondary tariffs against Iran, which would punish countries that do business with Iran unless there's a deal over its nuclear program. It comes after Iran's president rejected an offer to directly negotiate with the U.S.
And President Trump says he is planning to speak to Russian President Vladimir Putin again this week. The president threatened tariffs on countries that buy Russian oil if Moscow thwarts efforts to reach a peace deal with Ukraine, telling NBC News that he is also very angry with Putin over comments he's made criticizing Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
CBS's Derek Walter. Closer to home, Senator John Fetterman and Senator Dave McCormick were supposed to be together over the weekend, but that didn't happen. They cited logistic issues.
Well, there was a big protest was going to be held.
Well, maybe that's the logistics.
Apparently, they were trying to keep, from what I understand about this, Larry, they were trying to keep the location, you know, out of, you know, general public knowledge. And the people who would be there would be invited. And apparently, the protesters found out where this was going to be happening. And these protesters primarily are the people who are upset with or have been in the past upset with former Senator Pat Toomey. And they're renewing their protests against the policies that they, you know, whatever they're opposed to. I think they called it Tuesdays with Toomey was the name of the protest group, and they would show up outside his Pittsburgh offices and have a regular demonstration of some kind for quite a few months there, and they wanted to continue with that. And of course, as we all know by now, that Senator Fetterman is not marching to the same beat as all of the people in his party, and he's chosen his own path on a couple of issues, not the least of which would be his support for Israel. And so he's now in the crosshairs for protesters as well.
So will it happen? We'll find out. We're going to ask Senator McCormick in our 8 o'clock hour. At least we're scheduled to.
Oh, good, good. It'll be good to hear from him.
And hear his take on all of this. And the object was to find some common ground to get some things done for the state of Pennsylvania.
Now, the event on Saturday, Larry, was about mentorship. Right. And McCormick has just published or is publishing a book about that in working with children. And he and his wife were going to be there. And I guess that the Fettermans would have been in there as well in support of that in terms of dealing with mentorship.
So will it take place at some point in the future? We'll see.
I guess they'll have to come up with something that's, you know, much more secure and, you know, better, more isolated, I guess, is what they'll have to do.
That'll be one of the questions we ask. What else is going on? This earthquake.
Wow.
1,700 people in Miramar with a 7.7 earthquake over the weekend.
Have you watched the video of the buildings collapsing?
Yes. There's,
it's just terrifying.
There is a video that's gone viral of three people in a pool on top of a skyscraper.
How they weren't swept out of the pool when you see that video and you realize that they all got to safety because there was like these windows around the top of this pool. There are windows there.
Right.
Like a glass partition. And part of that glass partition fell off, and the floating pad, that, you know, big pad that they were floating on, a couple was on this pad, that went over the side.
I know.
It was just terrifying.
It was actually, if you have any kind of vertigo or
terrified, yeah.
Or when you have a fear of heights, too.
I wouldn't even set foot on that rooftop pool. I wouldn't even get near that. That's how afraid I am. Yeah.
But you watch this video and think, this is actually happening. And then, man. Of course,
just talk about it. It just gives you the yips watching it.
One of the skyscrapers who was under construction collapsed. And there's video of that.
Yeah, I saw the a video of the crane on top of this building
swaying and then falling, tumbling.
You see the crane fall over, and then one of the people who got some video of this got the video of the man who was operating the crane being thrown from the cab on as it fell to the ground. It was horrible.
And some other news, this one a little closer to home in Hollywood. Richard Chamberlain, the actor, died at the age of 90.
Whenever I think of him, I think of Shogun.
Shogun. It was a series on television, network TV.
Early 80s, right?
Yes. Yeah. And you know the popularity of streaming now, shows that are all over the different, you know, Hulu or Netflix, you name it, the different streaming services try to get you hooked in to watch these streaming shows. Well, before that, the networks tried to do the same when you couldn't really watch it on your own time.
No, this was appointment television. Unless you had a VCR that would record, you had to show up at a certain time every night. Right? I don't know. Did Shogun run like consecutive weeks, like one night a week, or did it run every night?
I think it ran once a week.
Yeah.
And the one that started it all, in my opinion, was
Roots.
Yep. And then Rich Man, Poor Man.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that one.
With Nick Nolte.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shogun was one with Richard Chamberlain. So
he's a handsome devil.
That kind of covers a lot of what went on over the weekend. News every weekday afternoon. Colin Dunlap brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. So hopefully you heard about this TikTok at Eaton Park that went viral for Betty.
Wonderful story, Larry. I got the opportunity to do that story for our afternoon newscasts on Friday. When I walked out the door, the fundraising goal had been smashed, and I checked again this morning, and it's even higher still. This is one of the nicest stories I've covered all in my entire career here in Pittsburgh. This is absolutely touching.
And this is at an Eaton Park that I worked in when it opened on McKnight Road.
I wondered about that.
And yeah. I've known Betty So a mom named Tammy Lynn, as you know, Paul, overheard 81-year-old Betty, who's a waitress there, still had to work because her Social Security wasn't enough to pay her bills.
Right.
So Tammy knew, I got to do something. And first left Betty a $40 tip. Then she jumped on TikTok and started this GoFundMe.
And what she said on this video that she posted right at that time, she did it in the restaurant. And she said, if I ever did anything on social media that would go viral, this is the one I want to go viral. And look what happened. I mean, she started out trying to raise like $9,000 for this wonderful person, and it just exploded. It just took off.
It struck a nerve, clearly, and it went viral around the country, and it made national news. And is still in the news today.
The last I checked, the GoFundMe for Betty has raised over $300,000.
Oh, my God.
Is that not wonderful?
So Betty, I guess, can finally retire at 81. Aaron's thinking, how old are you now, Aaron? Don't say if you don't want to, but just do the math.
Yeah,
when you're 81.
This 41-year-old mother is there at Eaton Park with her boy. 10-year-old son, I think, and they're having their dinner, and this is what happened. This is just one of the best stories ever. It just touches me.
And you know what Betty said when she heard the news about how much money? She said, speechless, but she said, quote, I better get a financial advisor.
she will, and I know that, I'm sorry, I've forgotten Tammy's last name.
Lynn. Or maybe that's her.
She's going to be getting together with Betty, I guess, at some point this week, privately. Okay. They're trying to keep, you know, Betty's last name and her identity kind of secret so that she's not preyed upon, or they also want to have her privacy. And I think that's a great idea. I'm all for that. But what a great story.
I'm trying to determine, and I'll have to ask Betty, if she was there when I was there cooking. Because she may have been, Aaron, you'll appreciate this, one of the waitresses that said to me, you going to get my order or are you going to stare out the window?
And you've got to know now.
Well, I was staring out the window looking at the clouds, just like the nuns in grade school.
Wow.
You're not going to make a living staring at the clouds. I'll show you.
You know, anyone,
I'll be a weatherman.
Yes.
Anyone who's worked in the restaurant industry, anyone who's waited on tables. I was a busboy. I did some cooking at a couple of different restaurants, and it's hard work. That's back when I had lots of energy as a teen, and I can only imagine what it's like to be on your feet for that many hours. Think about that. And she's 81.
Well, Betty, we're happy for you.
God bless you.
Really. Guess how Amazon spent their weekend.
Okay.
Disabling two key privacy protections on Alexa that will send everything you say to it or near it straight to the cloud. They're doing that in an attempt to introduce an AI feature so they could presumably benefit financially from it. Amazon claims Alexa has lost them a lot of money. Alexa can push products and services, so Amazon makes more money and keeps going. So if you try to disable it, it will cease all personalization features. In other words, we've heard time and time again that a lot of these Bluetooth intuitive products, including a microwave or a toaster that's listening to you.
I know. It's just spooky, like, right? I don't know. Do you have Alexa at home, either of the two of you, Aaron?
I don't.
I also do not have an Alexa.
I am not an Alexa guy.
But I'll tell you what.
And I'm never going to be an Alexa guy. I don't want... are things that come out of my mouth I don't want them to hear. But when I'm home alone, the things I say sometimes, right?
The smart speakers are very, very popular.
Well, there's no one around to hear me, and I kind of guess that's why I let loose sometimes with a comment here and there, but I don't need Alexa.
Your phone's listening. How many times have you talked about something with somebody, and then suddenly on your phone, you're getting an ad for that?
Wow.
Right?
That's just a bit too much for me.
Have you had that?
Oh, for sure. I think everyone has. It's just, if I can minimize it and not have an Alexa, that'd be great.
Right.
So you two want to live off the grid, don't
but,
you?
You know, I mean, just one web search for a particular product, and for months after that, I'll be receiving all kinds of, you know, suggestions and hints and links to click on and ads in my email. It's amazing how they do that.
Beware, somebody is listening.
And her name is Alexa.
Morning show, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. We had the potential for some severe weather overnight. Fortunately, that didn't happen. But for many millions of Americans, there is all kind of wild weather.
No, I had steady rain falling when I left this morning around 3:30. It was coming down pretty good there for a while.
And that line of showers just to the east. Let's check in with meteorologist Mike Kennedy with the National Weather Service. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
So there were, as I understand, a lot of people under severe weather watches really across the country over the last 24 hours, right?
Yes, there's a very large marginal risk or enhanced risk from the Storm Prediction Center. There was potential for severe weather, but a lot of that was south of our anything that did actually happen ended up being south of our region. And right now we have the showers like moving east of the Pittsburgh metro area. The actual front is still west of the area, so there will be scattered showers potentially through the day. But what we'll see like most noticeably will probably be just, we're relatively warm now in the mid-50s. We'll see our temperatures maybe go up a couple degrees, but they'll start after behind the front. We'll see our temperatures decrease this afternoon. And in comparison, the last couple nights, we're in the mid-50s or even like at 60 degrees for low temperatures. We'll be back to around like freezing tomorrow morning.
What?
Oh boy. Hey Mike, I was looking at the National Weather Service Pittsburgh X account this morning before I came into work, and there was a radar picture there, and the word that you guys used in this was that the storms had kind of fizzled, and this seems to happen a lot with fronts that are coming our way crossing over from Ohio, isn't it?
Well, I think it was in this particular situation, it was more than likely, like I wasn't working, the timing. Like we just did not have the available instability like in the atmosphere to keep the storms going. So yes. By the time I got, it was just a timing thing. Had it been tomorrow or yesterday, like during the middle of the afternoon, it would have been a completely different story.
Yeah. So fortunately for us, that didn't happen. All right, Mike, thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
National Weather Service meteorologist Mike Kennedy.
Yeah, I'm watching that radar loop that they posted. It was really interesting to watch that storm as it was moving over the line, and primarily, it was to the south along the border there with Ohio and then with West Virginia. But that thing just disassembled as soon as it crossed over the borders.
And, of course, a lot of people will be wondering, hey, what about the home opener at PNC Park? Right now, looks like 61 for a high, which it's a 4-1-2 first pitch.
Okay.
Get it? 4-1-2.
Right.
So that should be the temperature at first pitch, and it doesn't look like rain for now.
Still.
Obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's last good. Time we checked, it was going to be nice. So
yeah, that's good. Hey, speaking of sports with Pirates, home opener, disappointment over the weekend with 3 walk-offs for the Marlins. However, tons of sports news that kind of slips through the cracks.
Such as?
Penn State.
Oh, that's right. They got to the Frozen Four.
They beat UConn late in the overtime period 3-2, and for the first time in their history, will advance to the Frozen Four.
Congratulations, Nittany Lions.
College hockey.
That's an accomplishment. There's a lot of really good college hockey being played these days.
That's a big deal in St. Louis. And the other, obviously, is March Madness's Final Four established, and that is Duke versus Houston and Florida versus Auburn.
Now, think about this, Larry. They're all number one seeds. Is this the first time that's happened where all the number ones got to the Final Four?
I think it happened once before, but it's been, all four number one seeds. So if you had a bracket where you just were like, I'm going with the flow, probably pretty happy.
The two teams that I was hoping would advance and didn't were Tennessee and Michigan State. In specific, Michigan State, because I just love their coach, Tom Izzo. He's just a great character. When you get to this level, if you played in the Elite Eight and you just barely miss out going to the Final Four, I don't think there's any shame in that. We're talking about, think about what it takes to get that far, right?
Well, you're talking, initially 68 teams, and you're down there playing for a chance for the national championship. Pretty exciting.
So who do you think now? I mean, we got Florida looking pretty good, and Auburn, maybe one of those two?
Something about Duke.
And I keep thinking, and they walked through the ACC almost unscathed.
Right. So we're going to talk to our own Jeff Hathorne about a lot of this stuff, and has there been any movement with Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers? The only thing I've seen over the weekend is the Steelers coach Mike Tomlin said he had a great conversation with Aaron Rodgers and announcement in due time. Now, could that be next week when Pat McAfee, the Plum Native, is the ESPN star?
He's going to have a big event on the 9th, right, at PPG Paints Arena.
Sellout event.
So maybe that's where they're going to...
And there's some speculation...
Pull it off there, right?
Since he has a relationship with Aaron Rodgers that on that stage that night he'll make it official in Pittsburgh, which actually would be pretty cool.
Yeah. But then, Larry, if it doesn't happen on the 9th at that event, then what, right? How much longer are we going to go on speculating?
That's the multi-million-dollar question.
We are here along McKnight Road, and that's where the first one is really happening and already underway, where they have single-lane restrictions to work on the bridge's decks and barriers.
There's Megan Shin from KDKA-TV on what we're calling McKnightmare. For the next several weeks, Larry.
Well, that's a choke point for what is typically a six-lane road. It's down to five because they're doing additional work along the inbound lanes. But that is going to, and we'll find out shortly, back things up significantly.
Now, one other note, by the way, there were going to be a single-lane restriction on both sides of Route 51 for about a mile in Pleasant Hill. They were supposed to get that started over the weekend, but that's been delayed until Friday.
I'm not looking at that, but I'll tell you, I have had more people ask me to have a third term.
Yeah, that's President Donald Trump on Air Force One, Larry, after being asked by a reporter if he wants a third term in office.
He did say, hey, it's a long way to go, but it's already on the radar. Constitutionally, it's a no-no.
And in Miami?
The Marlins walk off the Pirates for a third time in this series.
Yeah, the Bucks lost 3-4 to the Marlins to open the season, and they'll start a series with the Rays at Tampa tonight.
That's the first time a team has had three straight walk-offs to open a season since the 1924 Pirates.
Let's hope this is not a gnomon for the rest of the season, right?
Amen.